John chapter 1. The skeleton of my outline, I will admit, the five main points of it, I had taken from a book I'd read some years ago that really made an impact on me. But nonetheless, I think it's applicable for all of us this evening. John chapter 1. I'm going to deal with the subject of walking in the Spirit. We all are familiar with that term. Everyone here this evening has been in church enough to know and to have heard, you know, about walking in the Spirit. And we'll look in Galatians in a few minutes, Lord willing. But what does that really mean? And not only what, more importantly, not what does it mean, but how do we go about that? How do we do that? You know, I think one of my struggles many times in preaching is I think preachers are very good at telling you what to do, but sometimes not telling you how to do it. And you know the truth of that is, a lot of times we can read Scripture just as you can read Scripture, and we can understand generally what the text is saying, but that's the end of it. And so therefore there's a lot of times that we, even as preachers, we tell you what to do, but we don't tell you how to do it, and sometimes it's because we don't know how. And you know, when I think about that, I think sometimes we're better off just to keep our mouths shut and ask God to show us that. And then once God has shown us and spoke to us, then we speak to the people on the behalf of God. But not tell them what to do without telling them how to do it. It's just like my children. If I tell them to do something and they don't understand what they're doing, and then if I were to get frustrated with them for not doing it, but they didn't understand how, then I failed as a parent not telling them or showing them how to do it. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, ultimately, we have Jesus as our pattern for doing that. You look at the life of Christ, and that's what we'll be looking at just briefly tonight, is Christ's short lifetime here on earth and how He carried Himself. And you see that in contrast to how many times we carry ourselves proclaiming to be Christians. Look in John chapter 1, verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. You see, here, says in verse 29, when he seen Jesus coming, John says, Behold, the Lamb of God. And then we see there in verse 32, says the Spirit descended as it was as of a dove upon the Lord. And victorious living and soul winning, all those things that we should strive to do as a Christian, I trust that you really do strive to do that. You desire to live victoriously for Christ. I trust that you desire to win souls for the Lord. But that's not done through just sheer power of the flesh or through the better, as a product of our better selves or hard work. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So we're not called to produce fruit. You remember the Lord gives us several illustrations in the Scripture. We're not, you and I as Christians, we're not called to produce fruit. We're called to bear fruit. And how do we do that? By walking in the Spirit. And then someone said, you know, a fruit tree, when you think of a fruit tree, what causes, there are several things that cause that fruit tree to bear fruit. One would be it has roots that are rooted in the ground picking up nutrients, but that tree is full of sap. And that sap traveling throughout the tree enables it to produce fruit. Well, you and I, if we're going to produce fruit for the Lord, and I'm not just talking about winning souls, that's one aspect of it, but I'm just talking living the way we should and acting the way we should, that's only going to be done by being full of the Holy Spirit. You know, you and I today we'll have as much of the Spirit as we'll ever have within our lives. You can't get more of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have, you and I have the Holy Spirit living within us. We can't get more of it. But we can quench the Spirit. We can hinder the Spirit from working in our lives as in the way that it should, through sin or not living as we should, not patterning ourselves after the Lord. And so we must be full of the Holy Spirit. If you remember there in Galatians, it talks about... just turn with me real quick so I don't misquote it. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, we'll look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So he says, you can tell the works of the flesh by what you will see, being made manifest. That word manifest means made known. So you can, and here they are listed out: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. He said, the writer of Galatians here, I believe to be Paul, he says to you and I, if you live in the Spirit, if you have life through the Spirit of God living in you, then we should walk accordingly to that Spirit. We should walk as Christ walked. And when we see here a good picture back in our text there in John 1, he lists two animals there, one in verse 29 and one in verse 32, a lamb and a dove. So you see the picture of the dove descending and resting upon Christ. And you know, you think about that. When you think of a lamb and a dove, two of the gentlest of God's creatures that exist. The lamb represents and speaks of meekness and submissiveness. The dove symbolizes peace. You know, we you think about that, really, if you just sit and listen to a dove cooing, it's a very peaceful sound. And you look at a sheep, you observe sheep and lambs, they're not a wild beast like some other animals. They're very meek. They're very submissive. And so the lamb, when he sees the Lord coming, John uses the wording led by the Holy Spirit here. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. And then when the Spirit of God descended upon him, to illustrate that to us, John used the illustration of an animal, of a dove, that symbol of peace. And what that says to me, paraphrased and just summarized quickly, if you and I want to have the Spirit of God resting upon us and being used of God and having those fruit of the Spirit, that was mentioned, have love, peace, joy, all that, then you know what we have to do? If we are truly sheep, I trust that's who I'm speaking to tonight, is saved people that are sheep, we have to act accordingly. We have to act like a sheep. You know what? If you don't act like a sheep, you don't act like a lamb, that dove, you can study it out. I've studied some, not in great detail, but a dove is a peaceful animal. It doesn't like a real rambunctious environment. It likes a peaceful environment. And if it had been any other animal other than a lamb, that dove wouldn't have rested on it. And you know what? That's the same way it is for you and I. When we don't act like Christians, and if you're saved, you and I both know we can't lose our salvation. We can't lose what God has given us. But we can lose the fruit of it. We can lose those fruits of the Spirit. We can lose that. Then love, from one another. Like Cheryl said, there's a lot of Christians I know, when people talk to them the way her dad knows being talked to, they don't act like a lamb, meek and submissive. They retaliate back. There's a lot of people that have no peace in their life and claim to be Christians. They don't have any joy. You know, it doesn't mean they're not a Christian, but I can tell you, if you and I, we don't have peace in our lives, we don't have joy, we don't have love, guess what? We're not walking in the Spirit. And when we don't act like a lamb, that Holy Spirit will never leave us. Don't misunderstand me. But the fruit of that will be removed. The presence of God and the power of God, we may lose that in our lives. And I know for me, I've been in some situations in my life and nothing really mattered other than God being there. And you know the worst feeling in the world is when you know the Lord is not present with you. And there's a lot of times we go through our Christian life living like that. And it's because we don't carry the disposition of a lamb. So when the eternal God chose to reveal Himself in His Son, He gave Him the name of a lamb. And when it was necessary for the Holy Spirit to come, He revealed it as an emblem of a dove. So not only do we have to humble ourselves to walk with God because God is so big and we're so little, that is true. But more importantly, it's because that's the very nature of who God is. So, you know, number one, the Holy Spirit rests upon the Lamb. The Holy Spirit resting upon the Lamb. Had Jesus had any other disposition than that of a lamb, that dove would have took flight and not stayed there. You think about that disposition that He had. Humility. God of very gods, the Creator of all things. And what did He do? He set that aside to come to this earth and become a man. You and I think, hey, what greater thing could a person be? Because God has esteemed man above all of His creatures. But man still is in no comparison to be even put in the same sentence with God, who God is. And God chose to become a man. And came here, He humbled Himself. And not only did He humble Himself and become a man, He submitted Himself to the Father's will. You and I want to be used of the Lord? We'll have to submit unto our Father. Remember 1 Corinthians 6? Know ye not that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. You and I don't belong to ourselves no more. We can't do what we want to. If we want to be used of the Lord and make a difference in the kingdom of God, we have to be about His business, not our own. The dove could have never rested upon Christ being so gentle if Christ had had any other disposition that other than a lamb. He would have been frightened away. But you think about that. If it had been you've seen a horse out in the field, flies get on their back and they sling their tail up to hit them off. We talked Sunday morning just a little bit about goats and how stubborn goats are. You let a dove or a bird come land on a goat, I can promise you that goat's not going to stand still. But that lamb, a sheep, it's possible, it's very possible for a bird just to come and land and that sheep not to roll or do anything because of just its sheer disposition. And the Holy Spirit will only come rest upon you and I when we're willing to be as the Lamb. If we're not broken to self, the Holy Spirit cannot rest upon us. And that's something that you and I fight every day. Our biggest enemy is not Satan, it's self. The Bible says crucify self. It says mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify, to kill self day in and day out. And we see the manifestations of the unbroken self where we just read there in Galatians chapter 5. So, point number one, and I will try to make this quickly for you, but if we want to have the power of God upon our lives and be used of God and have God's presence with us, carrying out the disposition of the lamb, we must be a simple lamb. That's what Christ was. And what do I mean by that? Christ didn't come with his own set of plans to do what he wanted to do. He didn't scheme when things didn't go the way he wanted them to take care of himself. He lived the simple life, just doing what the Father had for him. You remember when he said there on the way to Calvary, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." The simple lamb. How many times do we get into situations in life, get into trouble? And a lot of times that trouble is of our own making, but sometimes life comes at us, and what do? Rather than living by faith and saying, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" we scheme or we try to devise our own plan out of it. Someone said, and I really like this, Brother Danny, he said, "Faith is living without scheming." You know, and I think that's what we a lot of times we say that we're living by faith, but yet we're scheming and trying to make our own way out of situations rather than just living as a simple. You think about that lamb. You think about just a real little, an actual lamb, a baby lamb, how helpless they really are. They're subject to predators. There's really nothing they could do, even if they seen a wolf coming. That little lamb can't run fast enough to get away. It can't stand and defend itself. Just simple and helpless. And the God of all gods, all power, and He came and presented Himself in that very disposition. Remember, they stood there and they mocked Him and they said, "Hey, He can save others, but He can't save Himself. If you truly are the Messiah, you truly are the Christ, come down from there." And yet, He stayed on the cross for you and I. Jesus made Himself nothing for us. He didn't depend upon strength of His own. He depended upon strength of His Father. He didn't depend upon wisdom of His own, but He sought the Father's will. He didn't just scheme to get out of trouble. He just did what God had told Him to do, what the Father had told Him to do. You and I want to have the power of God upon our lives and the presence of God in our lives. We're going to have to be a simple lamb. Not our own wisdom, but the wisdom of God. Not our own strength, but the strength of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Lord. You know, and I think of the text there in Isaiah 50. Remember, he was talking about people that were cast into darkness. And he was talking about saved people, but he says that God allows them to go through moments of darkness in their lives. And at the end of that, he says, "Behold, ye that kindle a fire and compass yourself about with sparks and encompass yourself with the fire that you have made." He said, "You'll lie down in sorrow." If we try to scheme and get our own, make our own way out of trouble, out of difficult times, you know what the Lord said? You're going to lie down in sorrow. And just to illustrate that, I think of Abraham, the father of faith. And the Lord had promised him when things were good, "Hey, you're going to have a son, going to be the father of many nations." Some time went by, Sarah had gotten older. What did Abraham do? Tried to light his own fire, didn't he? Went into Hagar. What come from that? You look at today. See, you lie down in sorrow when we don't do it God's way. We don't trust the Lord. And the Lord did that when He was here in His 30-some-odd years of life here on this earth. He didn't go according to His own plan or scheming. He lived a simple life, just dependent upon the Father. And so many times we don't have the presence or power of God because the dove, if you'll allow me the illustration, has taken flight because we're not willing to be just simple lambs. But number two, not only do we have to be simple lambs, but you think about a lamb, what do they do? What's one of the major things that people use sheep for? Wool. How do they get that, Sister Beth? They shave them. They shear them. That's right. They're shorn is another word. You know what the Lord did? He was shorn of His rights. He was the God of very God. He could have at any moment said, "Hey, I am the Creator. I am God Almighty. You can't do this." But He didn't do that, did He? Now, how many times do you and I act not like the Lord? But hey, you're not going to talk to me like that. You're not going to say this. You don't realize who I am. Or whatever it may be. And we wonder why we don't have the power of God in our lives. We're not acting like the Lord acted. We're not acting in the disposition of a lamb. He is the pattern that we're to follow. He was shorn of His rights. He was shorn of His reputation. He was shorn of His liberty. And yet willingly did all that. But you and I, if we're going to be used of God, we've got to be willing to being shorn of our rights. We've got to be willing to be shorn of our reputation. And even of our liberties at times. Just because we can do something don't mean we have to. There's times that Christians, they can't get along because there is liberty within Christ and there's liberty within the Bible. But you know what? We should be willing to set some of that aside for our brothers and sisters that we love. The Lord did. Think about that. Just as a lamb is, you get those little lambs, you get the sheep there and you start to shear them. You don't see them running or trying to resist that, kicking, laying on their backs. They stand there. I've seen it. When, as a young boy, the neighbors had a lot of sheep. And they would get them there and they'd just stand there. The little lamb, the sheep, even the grown sheep, they would just take those clippers they had and just shave them right off. They didn't resist. Remember, the Lord was reviled. But the Scripture says, but He reviled not. He suffered, but He didn't make threats. Hey, you've done this to me, this is what I'm going to do. And I respect Peter's zeal, but you remember when they come there and they were treating our Lord unjustly and Peter pulled out his sword and slew off the man's ear, slew off the ear, and the Lord told him to put that sword away. His kingdom was not of this world. We want to have the power of God, the presence of God manifest in our lives. We've got to be willing to be shorn of our rights, our reputation, and our liberties. You know, you've seen people that demand to be respected because of maybe a position they hold. Respect is earned. You know, we should respect the office of a pastor. But also, the pastor has a responsibility to carry himself in a way that God would be pleased with that is respectful. I think of the Baptist. I've grown up my whole life as a Baptist. I was raised in a Baptist church, never went anywhere else. But you know what? I think a lot of ways, now I don't see that here, and I mean that, and heaven forbid if it ever enters in the walls of our church, but I've seen it in Baptist churches where they think they're a step up from other Christians because they're a Baptist. I believe the Lord has one kind of church. I know that without a doubt. And I believe that to be the New Testament Baptist church. But that's not something we should be proud about or arrogant or prideful about. We should be grateful and thankful for that. But I've seen people that think they almost have special privileges. That God owes them, you know, hey, we are your church. We're your type of church. We deserve a little bit better than these Methodists or whatever. And you look, God's used some good Methodists. God's used some other good men of other denominations, whatever it may be. So we want to have the power and presence of God manifest in our lives. We'll have to be a simple lambs. We have to be willing to be shorn, or else that dove will take flight and leave us without peace, without joy, without love. You go through that list. Unloving and not willing, because we're not willing to be shorn. Thirdly, He was the silent lamb. Look in Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Very familiar passage. Isaiah 53. Verse number 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. But notice this part. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You know, when they get ready to shear those lambs and shear those sheep, you don't see them resisting it. You don't see them talking back, or they just go peacefully right on through it. And that's the way the Lord carried himself here. It says right here, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. He was afflicted and oppressed like no other, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was mocked, but stayed on the cross for his sheep. He didn't defend himself and had every right to do it. But how quickly you and I can say I don't know, I won't say you, but you'll have to judge for yourself, but how quickly I am sometimes to speak when spoken to unkindly or even untrue. We're quick to defend ourselves, aren't we? And say, hey, no, that's not true, or I didn't do that. And I'm not telling you that there's not time for that. But you look at the Lord. He was spoken unkindly too. I think of your parents there, Cheryl. Things that were untrue. And yet, he was silent. And you see God being glorified in that, and God honoring that, and God lifting him up, placing his Son above all things and everyone, and using him. How many times we are loud in our self-defense or in anger? How many times do we excuse ourselves instead of admitting wrong? Some boys that worked for a guy that I had trained just here recently were pulled over, and the guy that I had trained sent me a pretty lengthy text, but he showed me, I didn't realize what I was looking at, but what I was looking at was a Twitter page. I don't have Twitter, but it was this guy, it was a state trooper's Twitter page. And this state trooper had found it so comical that he had posted it on his Twitter, the conversation that took place between the employees of this guy I had trained the other day. They pulled him over, and the state trooper said that you were doing 82. I pulled you over for speeding, and he said that you were doing 82. And the young man said, sir, I was doing 75. He said, well, the speed limit's 70. You're still speeding. But see, he was trying to excuse it. Instead of saying, you're right, I'm wrong. Hey, I was only doing 75. Well, the speed limit's 70. But how often do we do that? Try to excuse the wrong. But anyways, to finish that little story, it was funny because they're in a work van with no seats in the back. And one of the boys seen the policeman coming. And they have he had took a ratchet strap and put across himself, thinking that the cop would accept that as a seatbelt. And the cop was just hysterical. He posted it on his, you know, on his Twitter and stuff about that. But nonetheless, instead of just saying, pleading for mercy, saying, hey, you know what, I was wrong, but I'm working, I'm in a rush or whatever. He was almost going to argue with the cop. No, I was doing 75. No, you were doing 80. No, I was doing 70. Well, speed limit's 70. But how often do we do that? Excuse the wrong. Well, the reason I did that was because of what you did to me. The reason I said that to Wayne is because y'all don't know what Wayne said to me. It doesn't matter. See, we excuse that. But the Lord wasn't like that. He was silent. The dove takes flight and withdraws peace and blessing from our hearts when we're not willing to be silent lambs. Fourthly, he was the spotless lamb. There was no resentment in our Lord, no grudges. You remember there as he was hanging on the cross? What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No bitterness. These reactions will cause the dove to take flight. And as I said, we're not talking about losing your salvation, but we're talking about losing the fruit of your salvation. The power and the presence of God actively moving and being used of God. Actions and attitudes which will drive the Holy Spirit from our lives. Sin is the only hindrance from you and I having personal and collective and church revival today. You know why? We hear of yesteryear as the good old days and revivals. Because people, the Christians, acted more like Christians than the Christians do today. So, how do we get the dove to return? And how does that happen? Simply by repentance, confession, and making things right with God. Simply acting like a lamb. Acting like what you are. Not just what you claim to be, but what you really are. If you truly are a Christian, we're referenced as sheep in the Scripture, aren't we? We should act like it. And lastly, and the last point here, He's not only the simple lamb, the shorn lamb, the silent lamb, and the spotless lamb. You remember there was no blemish in our Lord, no sin within Him. But most of all, and this is what I am so grateful for, He was the substitute lamb. Without Him, there had been no hope for any of us. You remember in the Old Testament, the Jews offered a lamb. And that lamb couldn't take away sin, but it represented what it represented. It was symbolic. It was a substitute. And that's what Christ was there on the cross of Calvary for you and I. It was us. It was me. It was you that deserved to be on that cross. He took our place. So, we don't take time to spend with the Lord, then we know that we're not taking time to confess our sin. We know that we're not taking time to repent and get right. And understand how that breaks the Lord's heart. You know, we sometimes think that we understand that God is not necessarily an emotional being, but He, in one sense, does have feelings. You read how He feels about His children, how He, you know, you read through the Song of Solomon and how Christ views you and I as His sheep. He loves us. And when we don't do right, just as you all as parents, and even some of you that don't have children, you can maybe go back to a moment in your life when you did something that was wrong and your parents found out and how it broke their hearts. But those of us that are parents, when your children don't do what you really want them to do, or they do something that's really contrary to what you would desire, sometimes it does anger us, but a lot of times it really just hurts. It breaks our hearts. And that's what sin does to our Lord. And our hearts ought to be broken over sin. And if our hearts are broken over sin, you know what will follow? Repentance, confession, reconciliation. And we can have victory over the flesh. You know, sometimes I think we excuse it. Well, I'm only human, or I'm only this. But you and I have Christ living in us. We have the power to overcome that. It's just who are you going to surrender to? Yourself, the flesh, or unto the Lord? That dove is the emblem of peace. So if we are walking with God in humility, then the result is peace and the presence of God. If we don't have peace, it can only be because of sin. So if we don't, you read the fruit of the Spirit again tonight, or whenever you get a chance. And if you or myself are lacking in those areas, you can rest assured there's sin that's causing that to be hindered. But when you have sin confessed and repented of, you know what I'm talking about. I really don't have to tell you this. You may even know it better than me, some of you. But there's peace, which the Bible says it passes all understanding. First of all, you have to have peace with God to be able to have the peace of God. You have to know God loves you to love God. But if we don't have the power of God in our lives, we don't have joy, we don't have peace, we're not long-suffering, gentle, time, those things? There's sin in our lives. Many times the reason we don't have the power and presence of God in our lives is simply because we're acting contrary to our nature. We're lambs, we're sheep, and we're not acting like it. But tonight, I just ask, I'll leave you with this. I trust, I really do, the Lord only knows, but I trust each and every one of you truly are sheep here this evening. Are you acting like that? If not, then you can rest assured that the presence and the power of God will be off of your life until you want to act like Christ did. The disposition of a lamb. Simple, shorn, silent, substitutionary. May we act like what we really are. Brother Danny, dismiss us in a word of prayer, please.